Hi, I'm Luke Dennis, the Development Director at WYSO. We are happy we can deliver these programs to you, people who listen on the web, and we rely on you to help us pay for this service. So at our website, wyso.org, click Support This Station and help keep these services coming. And thank you.
Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and it's my pleasure to welcome to the program today T.R. Pearson. He joins us by telephone from somewhere near where the Wright brothers flew that plane.
Very near. I can see it from here.
Can you?
I can, yes.
Wow. Well, you know, that's kind of a big deal because the Wright brothers were from Dayton, Ohio.
I know. I remember when I was in Dayton last on a book tour, I went and visited a museum or something.
Yeah, and North Carolina likes to claim that, you know, they were first in flight and all that, and, you know, we just don't buy it out here.
Don't blame you.
T.R., I looked you up online, and you've written a ton of books, man. In fact, you've written some books under a different name, and you've got a new book out under this other name. It's called Nowhere Nice by Rick Gavin, and I've enjoyed all the books in this series, and I had no idea until I read this one that you weren't really Rick Gavin.
Well, it was a bit of a secret when the first book came out, and the reason was this. I've written probably a dozen novels under my name, most of them set in North Carolina or Virginia. Some of them considered, you know, literary novels and kind of a slog, and I had gone down to the Mississippi Delta to research a nonfiction book, a book about a kid with cerebral palsy who sings in a holiness church choir. And I just fell in love with the place, and I wanted to write fiction set there, but it was going to be very much out of character for me. The stuff is it's a lot more violent than the other books I've written. There's a lot of swearing in these books, and I just decided to use another name. And it was submitted; these books were submitted under the name Rick Gavin, they were published as Rick Gavin books until the third one. The publisher decided to, you know, use Rick Gavin, but then reveal that I had written them.
Was there any drama involved, as in when you submitted it through your agent or whatever, did they know that you were actually T.R. Pearson?
No, not at first. I think the agent said that would tell the editors that, you know, some established writer had written this book and wanted to publish them under a pseudonym, which is really common in publishing. I mean, much more so than most people know. And then once somebody had bought it, I introduced myself to them.
So were you worried about a lawyer like calling the press and going, "Hey, Rick Gavin's really T.R. Pearson"?
I was more worried that nobody would care.
I make it a joke. You know who I'm referring to, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. J.K.
Yes.
Yeah. We not to be named any further. Nowhere Nice. Okay, T.R. Pearson writes the serious literary stuff, and Rick Gavin writes the crazy, wacky, insane, hilarious stuff, right?
Well, Rick Gavin is a little rough around the edges. I mean, my books I write under my name are comedies. I only write comedies.
Oh, okay.
But the ones under my name tend to be a little denser. They don't have the, you know, I'm more interested in the characters and the tone than the plot, and Rick is very interested in the plot. But, you know, his books move a lot faster. I think they're funny, but they're also a little on the sweary side. They're books my mother doesn't really care for.
Well, you know, I read a lot in bed before I go to sleep, and I kept waking up the person trying to sleep on the other side of the bed because I kept laughing at the story. I tried not to. I tried to control myself. It's hilarious.
Well, thank you. That's the best tribute. I mean, I really enjoy funny books. And the trick of writing a, you know, humor, and the people who are really good at it, you see this, is if it's really funny, it seems effortless. It just kind of flows out, and people laugh when they don't want to, and that's what I'm after. It's kind of hard to pull off. I don't always succeed at it, but that's what I'm shooting for.
T.R. Pearson joins us. His new book under the name Rick Gavin is called Nowhere Nice. Tell us about Nick Reed.
Well, Nick Reed is a variation on a character in novels I've written under my own name. I've written some crime novels under my name, and there's a character named Ray Tatum who lives and works in Virginia, who's like a deputy sheriff. And when I started Ranchero, Nick Reed was Ray Tatum. And then when I shifted to make them Rick Gavin books, I changed his name and adjusted his character. But there, he's a former cop. He's kind of disappointed in life. He got tired of policing people, and he's become a repo man in Indianola, Mississippi, in the heart of the Delta, with his friend Desmond, who is a very large black man. And they ride around, you know, repossessing appliances for the most part and getting into trouble.
And Desmond is kind of the enforcer, isn't he?
Yeah, Desmond can just lean on people and make them sorry. Desmond is, you know, he's phlegmatic. He's very slow where Nick Reed is runs hot. And so they're a good pair.
Okay, the first book was called Ranchero. I have a friend who has a ranchero, and I kind of understand how someone could be attached to this particular kind of vehicle. And in this new book, once again, it's become kind of a key issue.
Yes. Nick loves his ranchero, which he got from his landlady. It was her dead husband's vehicle. And it keeps showing back up. And the world there is really small. I don't know if you've ever been to the Mississippi Delta, but it's, you know, it's thousands of acres of farmland and not a lot of people. And so you keep running into the same people. They live around the edges of the place and out of the way of the agriculture.
Well, after reading these books, particularly this one, Rick, I don't think I ever want to go there.
I really like the place. You know, people are of two minds about the Delta. You run into two sorts of people. There are people who love it and people who would never go back there if they've been, you know, on a bet. I just love it. There's something about the landscape and the people. And yes, it does. The whole place smells like fertilizer and there are crop dusters flying all over the place. But there's something about it that just keeps drawing me back. I've been there many times and even lived there for a while.
Well, having read Nowhere Nice, I would be afraid that any time I stopped at a rib place or any kind of like little store out there in the boondocks, that some car would pull up, like an Escalade maybe, and a guy named Dale would get out and immediately start punching me.
Yeah, it's a rough spot. It's rough. The law enforcement is far flung. You're kind of on your own out there.
Let's talk about some of these other guys. You've got a guy that they're chasing throughout most of the story. It's one of these classic kind of chase scenes. I could picture Burt Reynolds maybe playing Nick Reed back in the day. And
Cannonball Run. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got this guy, you pronounce it Boudreaux?
Boudreaux, yes.
Okay. Boudreaux, he's a bad dude. He was at Parchman.
Yeah, he was in Parchman. He was the pride of Cutoff, Louisiana. And he was in Parchman. He was a meth dealer and cooker. And then he and Desmond and Nick in Ranchero ended up were the ones that put him in Parchman. And then in Nowhere Nice, he escapes. He leaves a crew that's working the roadside and dives into a swamp and gets away. And the story eventually takes him to Alabama, to Tuscaloosa, where I happened to be at the time when I was writing that book. I was teaching a class there. And I had never been there before, and I got there a year after the tornado went through the city.
Mm.
And it just left such an impression on me. I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, it just scoured that place clean. And so I said, I have to bring them over here and see what happens in Alabama.
T.R. Pearson joins us. He's written another novel under the name Rick Gavin called Nowhere Nice, just published by Minotaur Books. And I got to say that these other guys in the car, they're driving around this Escalade. This is just a really motley crew. You just never know. Every time they pull up, they keep wanting to eat. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I like these guys. They showed up in the other two books, more so in the first book. But it's a great opportunity for me to have them talk to each other, to put them all together. And I just love writing their dialogue. It's just a lot of fun for me. And I can hear the way they talk. I mean, after wandering around the Delta, people have a distinct way of talking to each other. It's all the kind of, you know, deep Southern shorthand. And so I love to just throw them all together and let them jaw at each other.
And Boudreaux, even though he's a really nasty number, the guy kind of does have a legitimate reason to want to get Nick and Desmond.
He does. Yeah, no, he does. You know, they had it coming, and they know it. And they can't even tell decent people what they've been up to. which they don't feel good about, but they can't.
I think my favorite part of the whole book was when they drive over to Eudora, Arkansas to try to get a guy named Eugene out of jail.
Yeah, Eugene's been locked up and smells awful. And the jail is in like some strip mall where a Big Lots store used to be. And of course, they end up fighting half of Arkansas, which is just what they do. And, you know, and it's just not just the guys. They also have a hound with them, which they picked up in the swamp. So it is quite a crew.
Yeah, and the hound, they call the hound Barbara, and we'll leave that to readers to figure out why. But these guys, it's okay to punch each other, but don't you do anything to a dog.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you got to pick your spots. You know, where am I going to take the high moral ground? I'll do it with a hound. That's what they do.
I hate to call this redneck humor. It's kind of a pejorative term, but what would you call it?
That's as good as anything. I mean, I called it Delta Noir, and it got picked up by the publishing house. But it was, you know, I remember reading a book. Elmore Leonard once said a novel in the Mississippi Delta. It was just at the border. It was up around Memphis. But I thought he had it partly right, and it was kind of rough around the edges like this is. And I said, it needs to be a little rougher. I need to turn it up a little bit because the people don't quite talk as rudely as they do in the Delta, and the people aren't quite so ragged as they are in the Delta. So I've kind of taken what he did and ratcheted it up a couple of notches.
So these guys are cruising around in this increasingly more decrepit Escalade, and they're driving around Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas. They're looking for Boudreaux. Boudreaux now has a hostage. We won't say who that is. I hate giving away spoilers. And you want to cue up dueling banjos. I mean, it's like Deliverance.
Well, it's the Deep South. It just is. What I'm trying to paint is, I mean, it is a heightened version of the South. But I want the people to seem real. You know, and yes, you know, there's too much incident, and there's a lot of coincidence, and there's, you know, a lot of plot. But I always want the people to seem like they could exist, and that's really what I'm shooting for. And then these guys are rednecks. These guys are, you know, yokels, and that's just what they are.
T.R. Pearson joins us. How did you get into this? You obviously have been doing it for a while. What's the story there?
I started writing when I was a kid. I mean, my father's father was a writer, and I like to think that I just inherited the disposition. And so I am not a product of a writing program. Those didn't really exist in any profusion when I was in college. And I painted houses for several years in North Carolina. And in the early mornings, I would get up and write. And I finished three novels before the first one was published. It was a book called A Short History of a Small Place, which came out in 1985. And then at that time, and that was a pretty dense comic novel about a kid growing up in a small town in North Carolina. And at that time, we were encouraged, all of us as, you know, Southern writers, to write difficult books. Mm. And then the world began to change in publishing. And, you know, I started writing, I think, something more in the way of crime novels. And then I think the Rick Gavin books, and I've ghostwritten a couple of nonfiction books, too, for people. I mean, I just, you know, I was doing what would pay me to keep writing. Uh-huh. And then the Rick Gavin books are more in the, you know, straight, headlong, you know, hard-boiled crime fiction thing.
When I think about North Carolina, I think about this huge state that's just got so many different zones in it, so many different places. You got the mountains, you got all this other type of stuff going on there. You got all these pine trees. What town are you from originally?
I'm from Winston-Salem.
Okay. And you just alluded to the fact that since you published that first book in 1985, you've seen a lot of changes in publishing. I Googled you the other night just because I wasn't really familiar with you, and I came upon something where you were talking about this particular book, Nowhere Nice by Rick Gavin, and saying that because of all the changes in publishing, you were hoping this wasn't the last Rick Gavin book, but maybe it would be. Can you explain?
Well, publishers need the sort of sales figures that it's hard to hit sometimes. And And the publishing industry itself, I think, is at a crossroads. They haven't adjusted very well to the electronic revolution. And it's very easy now for writers, and I've done this several times, to just publish themselves. It's a simple thing to do. And I have a little imprint called Barking Mad Press where I publish books when it seems to me it's going to be difficult to engage a publishing house. And also, the publishing business hasn't changed to the extent that this book, for instance, Nowhere Nice, I handed the manuscript in probably a year and a half ago, and it's taken that long to publish it. And if I do it myself, I can do it in 6 weeks. And so there's a huge difference, and there's not a big enough difference in the publicity and the way the book is handled upon publication to frustrate me from doing it myself, to keep me from that. And so I probably will write another Rick Gavin book, but I may do it instead of having, Macmillan do it.
Uh-huh. Well, how's that changed for you, though? I mean, do you feel like the publishers now really don't do much publicity for your books and that you might as well do it yourself? I mean, isn't that something where you encounter that, well, I'm an artist, why am I doing marketing?
Not really. I mean, I gave that up a long time ago. I've noticed that when I started out in 1985, the publicist would send out a bunch of review copies, hundreds of them. But there were lots of places to get books reviewed. Mm-hmm. The Washington Post had a pull-out book section. The Chicago Tribune did. There were a lot of papers that existed then don't exist now. Mm-hmm. And now there are fewer and fewer places to get reviewed, but the publishers still send out hundreds of review copies. They're doing the same thing. I can engage the services of a publicist myself. And I also price books better than most publishing houses do, and I think writers do that. I mean, my e-books are cheap because I'm also a big book buyer, and I know what is, I think, a fair price. And I think publishers are coming around to that, but they've taken a very long time to get there.
Well, when you cut out the middleman, that certainly makes a difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I read a young adult book about a dog called Jerusalem Gap, which was picked up by a site called BookBub. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
No.
They recommend like ebook bargains to subscribers of theirs. And in a day and a half, that book was downloaded by like 40,000 people once it was recommended. It was just a matter of, reaching the right people. And I was priced really low. And that's how you get to people. It was a piece of good luck, but it's the sort of good luck that it's hard to come by with regular publishers.
Well, in addition to interviewing authors on this program, I also do write book reviews, and it's pretty gratifying to still be able to do that and to know that people actually respond to them. Book reviews, I think, do still sell books if you can get your book reviewed.
I agree with you. Yeah, they do. It's just harder and harder. When my first couple of books were published, it was easy enough to have them reviewed 100 times. And now if you get 4 or 5, you're doing pretty well.
Well, first you have to find 100 book reviewers.
Yeah, they can't do it. Well, they do. They exist only on Amazon.
It's like, right, Harriet. Harriet Klausner.
Yeah, woman. Oh, my God.
Does she review your stuff?
Yeah, I think she's reviewed one or two of them. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah, she's a legend.
Does she read all these books?
I think Harriet is actually a consortium somewhere in South Korea.
She almost has to be. Yeah, she's there, the first one on the site with her review. It's amazing.
Well, she can get her reviews published before the books are out.
How does she do that?
Well, I think Amazon must like her because she doesn't write negative reviews.
Oh, well, that's not very helpful.
Well, she doesn't. You go through her reviews, there are no negative reviews.
Well, does she just not review books she doesn't care for?
Well, I don't know. She seems to like everything, and for you read the reviews, and she's written thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and her grammar isn't getting any better. You kind of go, are they farming this out? Is this like The Simpsons?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think there's like someone with a stack of review copies somewhere in Seoul, South Korea, and maybe English isn't their first language, and they're cranking out these reviews.
Well, is that a business for her? I don't understand how it works.
I don't get it either. It's fascinating to me, though. We do digress. T.R. Pearson joins us, and his new book written under his pen name, Rick Gavin, is Nowhere Nice, and this is the funniest book that I have read in a long time. I laughed and laughed and laughed. So if you're looking for something that's going to amuse you, and if your salty language doesn't bother you, this might be a good read for some of you out there who are listening. And I'm wondering, you're so prolific. Are you working on a book right now?
I am, yeah. Actually, the book I'm working on now is a Kickstarter project.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I'll try anything. And went to Kickstarter and said, I'm working on this novel. I need a little help. And people ponied up. And so I'm going to finish it. And one of the people on Kickstarter is a copy editor, and he volunteered his services to copy edit. And so he's going to copy edit the book. And then I'll get the jacket designed and, I'll print it up and distribute it.
So how did this come about? How did you get the notion to do it that way?
I got frustrated with publishers. I mean, there's a lot you can't sell them. They're looking to fill particular niches, and there's a lot of stuff that they just let fall through the cracks. And also, they weren't very effective at marketing books. That's the big problem we all have. How do you reach the readers? And I think it's just as well to go on Goodreads and blog and go on Amazon and do the same thing and try to get reviews. And the process is a little backwards from trade publishing, where they'll release a book, want to get a lot of reviews up front, and for 6 weeks they're interested in it, and then they drop it. When you do it yourself, it's the opposite. It starts very slow and it picks up. And so it's been interesting, but I've enjoyed doing it myself. I work on the jackets, I write the copy, I do everything. And I get feedback from the readers, and I have a relationship with a lot of my readers now through emails and through comments here and there. And I get in there, wade in, and respond. And I think it's the way publishing's heading generally.
Well, in the 20 years that I've been doing this, I've noticed a lot of changes too. And the thing I find really curious is with publishing being the traditional publishing being kind of embattled, I would think that publicists at these big houses would be really excited and eager when someone like me calls them up and says, I'm really interested in interviewing so-and-so, and or I email them. That's really the way I like to communicate, and I get no response.
That's disheartening.
Yeah, it's like, the author's sitting out there. Well, I can remember 10 years ago, a fairly well-known author who I'd interviewed before had a book coming out, and I'd been in touch with him via email and saying, I really want to interview for this book. You're coming through the area. And then I called his publicist and I said, he's coming through the area. And she's like, oh, well, he doesn't want to do any interviews. And so I was doing a live program that day and I got a call transferred into me and they said, yeah, he's at a hotel in Cincinnati. He wants to talk to you. And he got on the line and he says, yeah. He says, my publicist said you didn't want to talk to me.
I'm afraid I'm not surprised.
I was just like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good at all.
Well, that sort of thing is why they're leaving the door open for people to go and do something else, and to be more creative with publishing. Because clearly there's an appetite for books.
Now, as far as your backlist goes, when those things go out of print, do you reissue them yourself as ebooks?
If I can get the rights to them, it's very hard to do, and the technology has made it even harder because the way the contract's written, if the publisher can keep a copy in print, they can keep the rights to the book. And so that's very easy to do now. I mean, you can, on print on demand, you can keep a copy in print.
Oh.
And so I, it's taken me several years to get the rights back to some of my books. I don't have all of them. I don't have A Short History of a Small Place, for example. Viking Penguin has it, and they just will not let it go.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're holding, they hold on to these books in the hope that one day something will happen and they'll have a big burst of sales, whether, something's made into a movie or there's a mention on Oprah or something. And so it's just against the day if something. And they're not doing anything with the books. They're often not even in print. And I just want to release them as ebooks because many of my books were published before there were electronic books.
So they're kind of holding them hostage in a way.
They are. They're exactly what they're doing.
But someday you're going to get a call from Oprah's people, and they're going to say, yeah, Oprah's discovered this 1985 book you wrote, and we want to have you on our program.
I want to have the rights the day before that happens. That's all I had.
Okay. Well, this is all fascinating. It's kind of like talking shop because you're a guy who's been in the trenches for a while.
Yeah, I've been at this. It's all I've ever done, too. I've been lucky enough to make a living at it. But now, lately, I'm having to scramble, but that's interesting, too.
T.R. Pearson joins us. His new novel, written under the name Rick Gavin, is Nowhere Nice, and this is the, is it the third book in the series?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned this Kickstarter project. Is this some kind of weirdo book that you didn't think anyone would publish? I mean, what is this about? Are you going to tell me?
It is. It's called Dog River, and it's a kind of literary crime novel set in Virginia, and it's sort of, you know, the time and the framing is a little erratic, and it's kind of difficult, and it was something I didn't even want to try on a publisher.
Really?
Yeah. And so I said, well, I'll give a shot at Kickstarter, and I wasn't looking for terribly much money, and just wanted a little help with, you know, just the nuts and bolts of it. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. And, I could help myself along if I, like, sent my books out to reviewers, which so far I've not organized enough to do.
But, yeah. So this thing was just erratic enough that there was some fear of rejection on your part?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I start thinking, I'm working on it, and it is a way to hamstring yourself if you're a writer, because given the climate now in publishing, it's easy to think, well, I can't take this book this way because nobody will be interested in it, even though if that might be the more interesting way to go. And so I didn't want to – you can't just write anything you want to because, you know, there are publishers clearly are interested in some things or are not interested in others. I don't think I could sell to a publishing house my first three novels if I had to go out and try to sell them now.
Well, everything's different now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Completely different.
Our guest today has been T.R. Pearson. His new novel, written under the moniker Rick Gavin, is Nowhere Nice. It's the third book in this series featuring this wacky repo man, Nick Reed. And I'm so glad that you wrote these because they gave me an opportunity to laugh a lot and to discover that you are someone else and to have you on this program. And now I can go dig up all those books by T.R. Pearson and read them. And this is all very exciting for me as someone who loves good books.
No, well, thank you. That's great to hear.
T.R. actually went to a great deal of trouble to do this interview. He walked to a hotel and rented a room to use the phone because he doesn't have a landline. So bless your heart.
Oh, my pleasure. Worth it.
Well, we really appreciate your time today.
Thanks very much, Vic.
You've been listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. My guest has been T.R. Pearson. And the new book is really a funny book. It's Nowhere Nice, a crime novel by Rick Gavin. You heard about it on The Book Nook on WYSO. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.
And you probably noticed during that interview that Tom Pearson is a little bit upset that so many newspapers have stopped reviewing books in-house. Well, since we taped that interview, Mr. Pearson will be happy to know that his new book, Nowhere Nice by Rick Gavin, has been reviewed in two of our leading newspapers that still care about book reviews that are original and current. That's right, Nowhere Nice was just reviewed in the New York Times and in the Dayton Daily News.
The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.